Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in our series on the greatest commandment, and this is session 21, Power to Set Our Hearts. Power to Set Our Hearts. I love that this is in the Word. I love it. It's something we can lock hold of, that we can really press into and believe God for in our own lives. When we say that term, set our hearts, what do we mean by that? We'll get into that here a little bit. First thing I just want to point out is that you can. If the Bible advertises it, then it's something that you can do. It's something that's possible and real. And a lot of times in this life, we feel aimless. We feel like we don't have control. We feel like there's a lot of things that are outside of our reach, our grasp, our control, and it's frustrating. And I want to give us encouragement this morning in our pursuit of the greatest commandment, that the Word of God tells us for sure you have power over your heart. You have power where you decide to set it. And so that's really good news. Because in the midst of a crazy world that's getting crazier, in the midst of all the options and opportunities and nonsense, it is good to know that you as an individual have the power from God to set your heart any old place you decide that you want to. Let's look at some of the verses here. 2 Chronicles 11:16 says, "Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord." Psalm 119:30 "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on whatever he was setting his heart on." Colossians 3:1, "Since then you've been raised with Christ." Set your hearts. See, you're seeing this in the Word. We're admonished, we're told that the great men and women of the faith did it this way. We're told that there is such a thing in the Word and in the human experience as you being in control of your heart and setting it in a direction. And then finally, the Jeremiah 22, "Your eyes and your heart are set only on," and it was on the Lord in some way or the other. Your heart set, your eyes set on the Lord. Well, what does it mean? What are we talking about? Pretty simply, it's the aim of your life. It's the aim of your affections and what you're giving your primary aim to. It's the all-consuming direction and focus. The great picture, obviously, is some dedicated athlete that has just aligned everything in their life to be about their trade, their sport. They're regimented in the way that they spend their time, in their workout routines, and their diet. Everything that they're doing, they're just set. They are a person who is set on excelling in that sport in order to get the scholarship or to get recruited or whatever, to continue to excel. This idea of setting our hearts, we want to recognize that just like that athlete, just think of whatever athlete's coming to mind that you're like, that is a person of extreme dedication. They have set their hearts on that prize. We have that same power. We can do that. We can set ourselves in a direction. Another way to say it, Hebrews 12:1-2 says it this way, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Fixing our eyes, setting our hearts. These are great phrases, by the way, to throw into your prayer life. If they're not already in there, oh God, help me fix my eyes. Fix my gaze on you. Help me set my heart. These are great phrases that we're given from the Word. So it's anointed already. It already comes with an amen on it. Like you pray this stuff, it's guaranteed. You want to enter into this and set your heart. And we all know what it's like to be living wishy-washy, to be living unset, unanchored, to be untethered and just kind of blown around here and there. What does the next season hold? I guess I'll be about that. What's big in the nation right now? I guess I'll give my attention to that. What's big on the news? What's big in this area of life or that? Your age? I'll be about whatever my age is about. Forget all that. Let's fix ourselves. Let's set ourselves, set our hearts, fix our gaze on some things that are eternal that matter. Here's what I want to tell us. This is crazy to me. This is like, I don't want to blow this out of proportion in a way that's going to wind up a sound clip online that's not going to be favorable for me, but like, this is like a power that like God has. God has the power to set himself, fix his gaze, and he's given us the same power that we, this is incredible dignity he's given us. This is incredible dignity given to the human race that unlike an animal, unlike you know, all the other created order, unlike even the living creatures in heaven, unlike, you know, the angels, we have the ability to set our hearts on something. We get to choose. We could choose this, that. We could choose whatever we want. And we get to choose it. We have the power to choose what we will set our hearts on, and then we can actually be about whatever that thing is. And I can remember, even as a lost person in junior high, I can remember middle school. It was a rough time for young Brad. I can remember in middle school, I was going this direction. And I can remember the moment I set myself and said, not anymore. I'm going this way. And I gave all my focus as a lost, you know, 12-year-old, lost, you know, 13-year-old. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going this direction. I gave all my attention to it, and I excelled like crazy that direction. Just as a lost teenager. We have power to choose what we're going to give ourselves to. This is a really interesting thing, because you are not just the victim of your circumstances. You are not the sum of whatever has happened to you. You are given power from God to set your heart on whatever it is you want and then run like crazy after that thing. It could be a good thing, a bad thing, a dumb thing, a fun thing. It could be God. You get to choose. That is powerful and a little scary, honestly, that we have that sort of authority in our own lives, that the Lord gave it to us. You have the power to set your heart. Whew, crazy. Well, in addition to that power, winds up the way that power reflects itself, you get to govern your life. This is like the setting your heart on whatever it is that you would set it. It's kind of like the rule book you're going to follow for your life. It's self-governance. You're getting to decide the direction. I mean, again, all these language, these words, they're kind of scary. They're true and they're scary because we've been given so much power and authority over our own lives, and God gave it to us. He obviously has a desire of where we would set our hearts, but you can set your heart on anything. Remember that dream I told you about the hoarder? In that dream, that hoarder set their hearts, all right. Fill my house with stuff. Magazines, I need more. I mean, we can set our hearts on anything and then go get it. And God gave human beings that power to be able to do that. It just so happens that the intention was always to be aimed on him. We got to be careful where we aim our attention, because the reason that so many, and it's fun to be in a church that's got so many young adults in it, because kind of in that, you know, 18 to, you know, 28 kind of range or whatever, there's so much learning, new, finding your way. What is life about? What are the options available to me? What, there's so much that, you know, now becomes available of opportunities. And what's a little bit, what's an easy way to get lost is that there are actually an infinite number of directions you could set your heart and just only one right one. But there's an infinite number of options. You can set your heart in any direction you want. And the number of options of where to set your heart just keeps growing. I mean, 100 years ago, your options were like 32. Okay, now you got 32 million. 32 million different directions to aim your heart, to set your heart, and then be all about it. And then even varying degrees. Will I give my heart a little to this thing, a lot to this thing, a whole lot to this thing? You can easily get lost. There are so many directions you can set your heart, but there's only one that really matters. There's only one that really counts. I love the occasion where Mary and Martha are having their little moment there, and Jesus points out, Luke 10, 41 through 42, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. There are many options, but there is one that's better. There is one where you're going to set your heart. And again, you have a choice. Today, a week from now, a year from now, 10 years, you have the choice of what you will be about. You have the choice of where you will set your heart, where you will engage your emotions, what you will give your affections to, and you can choose anything you want, and the options are limitless. But there is one that is better. And Mary chose it, and she was honored for it, and it's part of the reason that we all love and adore Mary in the Word, because she was one that gave herself to the one thing that was needed, to the one thing that mattered. She set her heart on Jesus. She set her gaze there. Well, a word of caution to you. You want to choose well this power that you've been given, this crazy authority to set your heart on whatever direction you want. It's got consequences. You will wind up operating outside of the design for your life, depending on what you set your heart on. You will wind up frustrated. You will wind up building something that will ultimately just be blown away. You will give yourself to things, spend all of your time, money, and energy, and you get to choose it. It's really yours to choose. We want to be about the willful setting. Now, these are verses we've read before. I don't think that these are, you know, brand new. But I'm just thinking about this willful decision. This is, as we're in the process of trying to define in our own hearts, what do I want to be about? What do I want to set my heart on? What do I want my main focus in life to be? Where do I want my attention to go? We have got this conversation that we're having in our soul with ourselves and with the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm 37, 4 through 5. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is the willful setting. Delight yourself in the Lord. You can delight yourself in whatever you want. I don't know if you knew that or not. You don't have to just delight yourself in delightful things. There are plenty of people on the planet that are delighted about some really dumb stuff. You can delight yourself in whatever you decide you want to delight yourself in. It's a willful setting. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he'll do this. It's a willful setting. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. It's a willful setting. Look at this Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. It's the willful, careful, intentional setting of the heart, guarding of the heart, setting, you know, the direction, the aim, the gaze. I'm just thinking about right now and what we've seen in this last, you know, 18 months or whatever. And I saw so many dear people to me lose their minds because they did not set their heart in the right direction. They allowed life, which was very tumultuous. I mean, we have got problems right now in our nation, no doubt. There's no argument. We have got problems in our nation. But if we have our heart set on the Lord, the problems can come and go, and we never lose our way in the greatest commandment. If we have our hearts set on Jesus, see, this setting of our hearts, it's valuable, friends. And I want to tell you, more trouble's coming. Worse things than 2020 dealt are coming. For sure, worse things are coming. We don't want to be a people that are tossed back and forth by worse things. I don't want, when worse things happen, for my life to be measured and assessed by those worse things. I want to be one who's got my heart set on the Lord, so that when worse things come, I'm still doing the greatest commandment in the midst of worse things. I'm still doing the greatest commandment. I mean, Paul was doing the greatest commandment in jail. I want to get to a point where my heart is set, and so whatever's happening on planet Earth is not affecting in any major way my pursuit of God and the greatest commandment. It has everything to do with setting our heart. And again, I watched in this last season people that I knew and loved. I'm like, oh my gosh, they have set their heart on things that are not helpful. They have set their heart on things that aren't necessarily bad. They're just totally not Jesus. And so they wound up so far off away from Jesus, because you can't have your heart set on Jesus and something else. It didn't work that way. The house divided kind of deal. You've got to have your heart set on the Lord. And so that's the whole in the world, but not of it. In the circumstances, but not of the circumstances. Surrounded by problems everywhere, but not defined by the problems everywhere. Yes, having to respond to issues, but not thinking all day and night about the issues. thinking all day and night about Jesus, setting our hearts on Jesus, giving our hearts to him, set on him, immovable, unshakable. That's grounding. That's helpful. That's anchoring. In a world that's crazy and going to get a lot crazier if our Bibles are true, a lot crazier, we need to be a people that know how to set our hearts on Jesus and stay the course so that no matter what comes, our lives would not be defined by what's happening on the planet. Can you just imagine in the middle of the Great Tribulation, all things are going on, and people are trying to find what they're going to set their hearts on in the middle of all that? Or they're allowing the circumstances to define what their lives are about? My goodness, what are your lives about? Well, apparently today it's about the water being blood. My life's all about blood water. Or giant hailstones, 100 pounds each. I mean, let's not have our hearts set in accordance to what's happening around us. Set our gaze. Set our focus. Make it a point in your soul. This is who I am, and this is what I'm about. This is my one thing, that I would love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. In season, out of season, friends are good, friends are crazy. The world is going okay for a minute and stock market's up. Everything plummets and everybody's dying. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because I've set my heart. I've set my course. It's so important. And you have power to do this. In the midst of a global pandemic, in the midst of crisis, in the midst of whatever comes, you have power from God to set your hearts and to not be about whatever's happening. You can be about Jesus, which was what we were supposed to be about all along. I don't want to get lost in the sea of choices. We get focused on what matters. Well, let's look at some of what the Word gives us. This idea of setting your heart, it's a great word study, by the way. Just that phrase, set your heart. I mean, it's in the Word a lot because it's a real thing. So that's a great way you can define if something's a real thing, even if it's new to you. Like, I don't think this set your heart thing's a real thing. Well, if it's in the Bible 40 times, it's a real thing. And so it doesn't much matter if you think it's a real thing or I think it's a real thing. If it's in the Bible 40 times, it's a real thing. This is a great study. If you go and look, search this out and, you know, meditate on it, I'm telling you, you'll find some riches there. We can choose what we set our hearts upon. And in the Word, there's some categories that are described, some ways that we can give ourselves to. And mostly the reason I want to look at these verses right now is to give all of us a little bit of a heads up, because maybe the Holy Spirit will nudge some of us in the midst of this and go, you're kind of doing that. You're kind of giving your heart that way right now, good or bad. I think that would be helpful for us. That's part of the reason, because the Word has power on it. You know, one of the reason I have so many Bible verses in my teaching messages? Because I'm not that great of a teacher, but I can read the Bible. I just read it at you and you're impacted. It's great. You walk away and go, oh, that was a good sermon. No, it was. I read Bible verses. That's all I did. Just read them over and over. All right, let's look at some. Luke 12, verse 29. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. This is just talking about the temporal things of life. It's not just eat or drink. I mean, Jesus was not mostly focused only on what they were going to eat or drink tomorrow. It's don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things of this life. Don't set your heart on temporal things. Yeah, you can eat, you can drink, you can have the things, but don't set your heart there. Do not allow your heart to be given over to the temporal things. And I just want to tell you, the marketing department of planet Earth is trying to get you to set your heart on temporal things, okay? The marketing engine of America is trying to get you very much to set your heart. I want that. I'm going to get that. That's my thing. I'm going to get that. And it's all to try to get you to set your heart. We're going to be careful not to do it. Look at Deuteronomy 5:21, though, talking about covetousness. This is another one that's like, oh, Lord, touch us today. Shock us now that we'd not be shocked later on. Look at this. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, servants, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Can I just tell you what Instagram is awesome for? Covetousness. It is the best at covetousness. I mean, it might be good at other things too, but I'll tell you what, Instagram goes hard in the paint on covetousness. Because here's what it does. It shows you what your friend just did. It shows you what your friend just bought. What your neighbor just got to do. And if we're not careful, we can set our hearts and we can find ourselves all entrenched in covetousness. Now, we need to be a people who can be in Instagram, but not of Instagram, okay? We got to be a people that can see it and not allow our heart to be set that direction. I got Instagram. I posted some stuff. Don't be covetous. We have to be figuring out in our own souls how to be able to be in this world to see these things, but not wind up giving our hearts to them. Because this is what it says. Do not give your desire. Do not set your desire. Set your heart, set your desire. Same idea. Do not set your desire on your neighbor's stuff, on your neighbor's experience, on your neighbor's position, promotion, prestige. Don't set your heart on what they have and what you don't have. Don't do that. Listen, some of you in this morning, you need to hear that word. Stop setting your desire on what they have and you don't. Stop it. Because it will destroy you. Because ultimately, here's how this works. You're going to get whatever you set your heart on. You're going to go down that path. You are going to give attention and energy to it. And if we want to set our hearts on the Lord and we wind up setting our hearts on something else, you're going a different direction than the one you really want to be going. Then you have to backtrack later. It's like massively inconvenient and unhelpful to set your heart on something. Don't set your heart on covetous desires. Evil. 1 Corinthians 10:6. These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. You want to be really careful. We all know, we've got some sense as those with the Holy Spirit in us, we've got some sense of what is good and what is evil. Now, sometimes we lie to ourselves and try to convince ourselves that an evil thing is okay, but there is the conscience that you were given and the Holy Spirit within that's saying, that's not good, friend. Be real careful that you do not set your heart on evil things because it'll grow. You will wind up so far away from the Lord. Listen, you're not dabbling in something harmless. You're dabbling in poison. You're dipping your toe in acid. Well, you may not feel it burning immediately, that you're going to look up and your foot's gone. You cannot give yourself, you cannot set your desires on evil things. It will wind up destroying you. And here's what I want to tell you. As those that love Jesus, because look at this. This is 1 Corinthians. This is New Testament church. Paul tells a New Testament church, you have the power to set your heart on evil. New Testament Christian, you have the power to set your heart on evil if you're not careful. Do not set your heart on evil. You have control over your heart and where you set it. Be careful. Do not give yourself over to evil. Do not meditate on it. Do not give yourself to it. I like Proverbs 8, though. Proverbs 8, 5 says, set your heart on prudence instead. Look at this. Does not understanding raise her voice? O people, I cry out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. And you who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Set your hearts on prudence. Set your hearts on prudence. Prudence is careful, intentional. So instead of being aimless and giving yourself over to things that are unhelpful, think prudently. Think about, what will this equal in my spiritual life in a year? What will this equal in the way that I respond to God, you know, in this coming week? How will this impact? Think with prudence. Give yourself to it. Set your hearts on things that will be prudent for your walk with the Lord and your life in God. Set your hearts on it. On the right path. You know, each of us in each season, we're given crossroads, opportunities to go left or right. We want to make sure we are assessing the paths that are before us in accordance. Is this going to draw me closer to the Lord? Is this going to lead me closer to his purposes? Is this in alignment with what he wants, what he wills, what he wants for me? Or is this going to be a left turn that's going to cause me problems, even if it looks so good, even if it equals more of some of the things that I covet? We want to be careful. Look what it says. Proverbs 23. Listen, my son, be wise. Set your heart on the right path. Set your heart. So here's what this looks like in the most practical sense. Each season of your life, you're going to be given opportunities. Take the job, don't take the job. Move to the thing, don't move to the thing. Start the opportunity, don't start. Join the club, unjoin the club. You're going to be given all these different opportunities. Assess the right path. And the way that you determine that right path, Lord, is this what you want? Is this honoring to you? Listen, what you want doesn't matter, dummy. You don't want what you want, I promise. You will wind up in a mess of hurt. You want what he wants. You want the right path. And you can't get there by just looking at your own heart and going, what would make me happy? Listen, not all that sparks joy is a good idea to keep. You want to figure out the right path from the Lord. And in each of your decisions, with the fear of the Lord, you come before him and you go, God, which way do you want me to go? I don't want to pretend to be smart enough that I know what's best for my life. Start, stop, quit, hire, go, stay. I don't want to pretend I'm smart enough. God, what's the best path? What is the good way, the path, the right path for my life in this situation? And if you'll set your heart to go down the right path, the Lord will lead you. He will show you what the right path is. Here's what happens. We think we're so smart. We come to these crossroads and we either think we know the answer or we stick our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 Holy Spirit, not listening. I'm going to go the way I want to go because I like it this way. I like right. I love left. I'm going this way. That's foolishness. That's not how you came to Jesus. That's not how we walk with Jesus. We set our hearts on the right path. And as we set our hearts again and again, he leads us, he helps us in our relationships, in our occupations, and all the ins and outs. We want to set our hearts on the right path, and he will help us. I'm going to set our hearts on seeking God. Look at 2 Chronicles 19:3. You've rid the land of the Asherah poles, and you've set your hearts on seeking God. I don't think we can do any better than to set our hearts on seeking the Lord again and again. We're so fickle. This part about me drives me crazy. It's the part about me that I wish I could like erase out of me. How fickle I am. I know the good I ought to do, and I set myself down that way. And 6 weeks later, I find myself strained. It's like, what just happened? I was thinking so rightly about this a minute ago. I was doing so darn good. Like, I was walking in the way that I knew was right. It was good. I was feeling it. And then I just started to wander from it because setting your heart once won't do it. You got to set again and again and reset and reassess and set again. As many days as there are, as many settings as you're going to need. Because we are a fickle thing. We wander. I'm going to give us some practical points here. That's going to sound so no duh, but I want to encourage you to embrace no duh this morning. You can write that down, friends. Embrace no duh, all right? You're aimed, the direction that you're aimed is the direction you are going. The direction that you set yourself, you can plot out a course of what will happen if you continue down that road, a month, a week, you know, a year, 10 years. You can see the direction. The direction that you're aimed, just think about a boat, whatever direction the front of that boat is going, the bow of the boat, that's where it's going to head. So if the lighthouse is over here and the boat's pointed this way, it's really kind of foolish to think you're going to wind up at the lighthouse if you're off on this direction, all right? I just want to say this to us very simply. You can see right now the direction your life is aimed. You can see it. That's where you're going. The direction you're aimed right now. It's terrifying. Because what if that direction is not so awesome? Repent. Get realigned. The kindness of the Lord is available to us every single day. We can get that boat right back on course. But I just want to make it so clear to you today, the direction your life is aimed today, the way that you hold your heart, the way that you pray, the way that you're seeking the Lord, that's the direction you're going. It's not just a today thing. It actually matters. It's defining trajectory. You can actually figure out where you're going to be a year or 5 years from now based off of what direction the boat's headed. Now, we want we want to be careful about that because we're always either growing or slowing in our knowledge of God, in our hunger for the Lord, in our desire to understand the Word of God, in our tenderness. I love Andy's testimony, you know, earlier. He's like, listen, I've been wanting a tenderness in my heart. I've been wanting my heart to long for Jesus. So I've taken steps in my life to make that more real. And guess what? It's more real. That's beautiful. For all of us, it's a constant reality. I'll say it this way, every day and every season. It's a really good thing to have some of these prayer phrases that we're praying regularly, like every day, that you're going, oh God, help me commit my way to you. Oh God, you know, help me to seek you, help me to love you. It's great to have these phrases because every day we need to be mindful of the Lord. It's so easy in just a few days to wind up off track. You know, I don't think most people that were sitting in a pew one day hearing a message like this going, amen, that wound up 3 or 5 years later totally off track, I don't think that most of them imagined that they would get there. I think what happened was just a little careless. Just not setting our hearts or being not careful about what we were giving our hearts to. Every season, make the reassessment. Not just every day, because even in the day-to-day, it's so tricky. It's like rolling a ball uphill, right? Now, don't imagine the hill being like this. Imagine the hill being like this, okay? But you give that ball a good whack. Right? You whack that ball. And that ball starts rolling up the hill because you gave it enough whack. But tell you what, if you don't keep whacking that ball's going to roll right back down that hill. You got to run after that ball and give it another nudge, and then another, and another. That's our life. I wish it wasn't so, but I want to be honest with you. If you're not careful to set and reset, if you're not careful, hit that ball up the hill and then run after it, hit that ball up again, hit that ball, you find that ball at the bottom of the hill. Because this is just how it is that we require nurturing. The very nature of life requires that plants get watered again and again and again and again. There's no end to it. It's the very nature of growth. Is that we've got to have the consistent nurturing and nutrients. And that's how this works in our life in God. It's an uphill incline. We want to have our life's pursuit be running after the Lord. I'm going to leave you with this. Just a practical way to end this today is we're talking about this. We have power to set our hearts. And I want to reiterate that point again to you. However hopeless, helpless, weak, out of control, your life is totally in a tailspin or something, you may feel, you have been given power by God to set your hearts in this season. You are not a victim of your circumstance. You have power to set your heart. Or the Word wouldn't continually encourage us to do so and exhort and speak well of those that have done so. You have power. And it's a really comforting thing, actually, when you feel like you're in a tailspin. Because you've got power to grab, you know, the wheel or whatever, the throttle, whatever it is that's on a plane, grab that thing and pull it up. You have power. You've got power to set your hearts. And here's really just a practical point. This whole series that we're doing is trying to help us with this. But I'll give you a practical prayer point this morning. Psalm 86:11, and then really, Ezekiel 11:19 says it similarly as well. Psalm 86 says this, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." You catch this? This is a passionate worshiper of God saying, I need your help to even like you. Help me. Help my heart be happy about you. Help my heart be aimed at you. Help my heart be undivided. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name, that I may walk with you, that I may know you more. I want to encourage you, pray that the Lord would give you an undivided heart. And I'll tell you what, if you'll keep that at the front of your prayer list, you'll have it. And he will help you. See, we need help even in the most basic thing. I just got done. This whole message was all about, you have power, you have power, you have power. And the end of it is, you don't have any power. You got to ask God for help, but you have power to ask God for help. And if you'll ask him for help, guess what he'll do? He'll help you. And if you try to do this on your own, you'll fall on your face. But if you will ask God, oh, help me to have an undivided heart, doesn't that just sound like who you want to be? Doesn't that sound like the version of you that you'd like and everybody else would do? The one that has an undivided heart for God? Pray it. It's in the Word. You have power to ask God to help you to have an undivided heart today, tomorrow, a year from now, and a decade later. Give me an undivided heart to love you. And he will help you with this.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.